6:05 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker. We've got, with all due respect, coming up in a moment, send in your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Before we get to with all due respect, normally, a generous tip at a restaurant comes with praise, and that's exactly what happened when 24-year-old Serena Wolf left a $5,000 tip for a waitress who was grieving the loss of her dog. Days later, the real story came out. According to the affidavit, Wolf used her boyfriend's credit card to make the purchase. The two apparently had an argument because he wouldn't buy her a plane ticket home to New York, so he put his card on hold so she wouldn't buy it herself. After he removed the hold, she gave the tip. The restaurant was contacted about the fraudulent charge, but had already paid out the waitress for the $5,000 tip from the $55 meal. It's still unclear if the waitress will be able to keep the money.
Here's one first, just talking from a restaurant standpoint, and maybe somebody that has experience in this can let us know, text in 65780. Is that a standard operating procedure where if you see a tip like this, you just say, let's pay it out?
Yeah, she must have provided really good service.
We shouldn't even check on something like this.
Well, it's signed.
Yeah. Second one is a woman scorn. My God. Ooh. Just pay for the ticket next time. Or find a new girlfriend.
Former NFL quarterback Anthony Wright, reportedly in stable condition after he was shot during a domestic altercation. Police in Concord, North Carolina say Wright got into an argument with his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend, who had shown up at the home to drop off his daughter. Wright underwent surgery and is doing fine. But with all due respect, it was going to happen that somebody that Anthony Wright was involved with was going to be accurate. Wasn't going to be him, but somebody that he was going to be involved with.
Whoa. Wow. Back to our earlier story. Find a new girlfriend, probably.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Problems that are coming around. Glad he's okay-ish.
Yeah, one time had a year where he passed for a completion percentage of 41.5%. Yikes.
It's not great.
No.
That's not where you want to be.
Is this a thoughts and prayers kind of situation?
No, he's fine now.
So we don't do thoughts and prayers?
He and the ex-boyfriend will be laughing about it next week.
I doubt it. I really don't know if that's something that you guys have a beer and you chalk it up. Like, remember when I shot you and you were in critical condition for a hot minute?
Man, that was hilarious.
Oh, man. I totally overreacted. That is my fault. I don't know if that's going to happen. Anyways, all right, so I'm sure by now you probably heard us talking about it earlier, or maybe you've seen video of it, and there's plenty of speculation and excitement around where Kawhi Leonard is going to sign. Today in Toronto, they were wall-to-wall with the coverage, had people standing outside the hotel, had a freaking helicopter following his car. With all due respect, I don't think that we should follow basketball players' cars with helicopters unless they do something wrong.
Probably shouldn't follow. Yeah, fair. I mean,
I'd say anybody's
I'm
car.
With you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't care. Let's not follow somebody for no reason.
What was the thing from a few months ago? It was something similarly stupid, and helicopters were following something like that. Well, I do remember when Cody Parkey was taking kicking practice.
Oh yeah, right.
And that the helicopters great. Were flying around the stadium.
That was actually kind of funny.
Do you remember the Brett Favre watch? How they would always have helicopters following him around?
No.
It was crazy. Yeah, when he was coming out of retirement, or when he went to the Jets, when he went to the Vikings, every place, Brett Favre had helicopters following him.
And I'm remembering when the Red Sox flew Doug Mirabelli in with a helicopter.
Well, they flew him across the country in a day so that he could catch Wakefield.
That is awesome. It's so Boston Red Sox, too. So we did a segment today, and it's been a theme throughout the show, of the amount of hot dogs that a person, an average American, eats per year. And the number, according to Brad Barnes, is 216. We had a texter during our last segment who said, I just did some research on your numbers, and what I found was the average family of four eat 216 hot dogs per year.
Is this a meetup?
It said per capita.
With all due respect to meat, I believe this is probably closer to accurate.
Have we been going on for half the show with bad numbers?
I don't know. Now this person didn't give us any, give us any work here. You know, they didn't show their work on it.
Doesn't have a track record.
In the USA Today story, meat is accurate.
Thank you.
Yeah, I checked it, and it does say per capita.
Well, maybe the USA Today publication is incorrect. That 216 is an outrageous amount of hot dogs a year.
It's amazing.
I could see 50. Yep. 50 even seems like a lot, but I could see it.
By the way, they do have, the way they break it down is total sales per state resident at burger and hot dog restaurants, estimated hamburgers eaten per capita annually, estimated hot dogs eaten per capita annually. By the way, this is estimated, obviously, but it looks like it's only from restaurants, too. So, interesting.
Wow.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
With all due respect, bratwursts are by far superior to hot dogs.
Agreed, 100%.
I'm not 100% on this. I love a good hot dog. I really do. And I enjoy the brats also. My favorite, though, you get me a good jalapeno cheddar brat, I'm there all day.
Nothing wrong with that.
Does the brat game change if you don't have, like, the onions and all that stuff on it, though? Like, are you good with just the mustard?
A brat with mustard is fine for me.
I'm fine with that, too.
Okay.
There is a spice in a bratwurst that's not my favorite of all the sausages. So if I have a power ranking here, I'm going Italian sausage, Polish hot dog, and then brat. And I don't know what it is that's in the bratwurst, but I'm not the biggest fan of it.
Yeah. You know what I find criminally underrated in this realm? And honestly, I don't know the best place to find one. I love a good hot link. I love hot link so much. Hot link with mustard and sliced pickle.
Somebody texted in, and we were talking about the hot dog or sausage of some kind with the peanut butter and jelly. Says they do that with the PB&J, and they do it with mustard.
So, really?
Yeah.
With mustard combined?
Yep.
So, I've had the peanut butter one with Frank's Red Hot on it. We did that at Dirty Dogs one day, Randy, and it was surprisingly outstanding. It was really good.
With all due respect to all of the fine people listening, many of you will be with fewer digits by Monday.
Well,
I hope not our listeners. We've got a really smart group that knows when you're going to light your fireworks to, you know, put them in a safe place, make sure they're standing perfect so they're not going to fall and shoot at you, and get out of the way. Don't light them in your hand and throw them in the air. You guys are smart. You're going to come back with all your digits. Fingers crossed for now.
Send us a text if you still have your fingers on Monday.
Well,
honestly, send us one if you don't. Yeah,
and if you don't, let us know. Or maybe your family member in the hospital will text for you.
With all due respect, ketchup is totally acceptable on a dog or a brat.
Oh.
I was just going to say to you guys, and it, whatever your opinion is, yes, that is your opinion, and you can eat it any way you want.
Six and under.
I do believe, because I do enjoy ketchup on a hot dog, but I would not want to have ketchup with a brat.
Yeah, I don't want ketchup on
mustard on a brat is great, but I'm not a ketchup with the brat guy.
Yeah, I'm not here to judge you, but I just did.
I got another one. With all due respect, Chris Mullen looks like a really old Dan McLaughlin.
He kind of does. How about that?
Oh,
yeah.
Damn, yeah.
He's on TV, and I just noticed.
They have the same jacket, too.
Yeah, my God, he looks like Dan, but old.
By the way, Dirty Dogs O'Fallon, it's the Dunlap Paul dog. Bacon-wrapped all-beef dog with peanut butter and brown sugar.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mm. Oh,
I didn't have that one. That sounds amazing.
We have another text. Said they were in Aruba. They had a hot dog, peanut butter on one side of the bun, cream cheese on the other, jalapenos down the middle.
Oh, I think I can
I might
get down
to get
that.
Down with that, too. Yep.
Ooh, I want.
All right, and a lot of people are off work for the rest of the week. With all due respect, I'd rather have half a week off from the Cardinals than half a week off from work.
No.
That's not nice.
That is not nice.
We could just turn off the TV.
It's going to change tonight.
You can take a nap during the Cardinal game. You can't take a nap during work.
Well, you might be able to, depending on what you do.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, if you're a...
I told me...
traffic controller.
A little bit scary. I actually accidentally took a nap for a second on the way home last night. I swear.
I've done that before. That is scary.
I fell asleep. I was the only one
on
the
road. Are you guys serious?
I swear. I fell asleep for a second, and then I wake up and I'm like, jeez. I was fearing a tiny bit.
Yep.
I got to do better than that.
Guys, what the hell, man?
It was late. I'm tired.
I did it a really, really long time ago, like when I was in my 20s. But, yeah, it's happened.
Good Lord, boys.
Dangerous. I've done it on long trips across the country, too, driving for baseball. Like, mm-hmm. on the 16th hour of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just, like, lean in, you hit the window.
Oh, okay. I thought that was only a four-hour trek.
Oh, Randy, I've done plenty of driving. I've done the Vegas to Connecticut drive.
Oh, yeah.
I've done them all.
And by the way, there's a texter who tells us there's a pastrami dog at Busch.
I just saw that, too. That sounds
where
great.
Where is that?
That sounds really good.
I need to know exactly where that is right now, so please text back. Tell us where the pastrami dog at Busch Stadium is.
Next Friday, that's going to be mine. If I'm doing a game, I'll get that first.
Next up in the fast lane, Stephen A. Smith is one of the biggest sports broadcasting icons in the world, and he has no issue talking about the love he has for his beloved Knicks. That's next on 101 ESPN. Stephen A. Smith of ESPN is a Knicks fan and one of the most notable sports broadcasters in the world, but he's passionate about his Knicks.
I got to tell you, as far as Stephen A. goes, that's the thing I like about him the most. Honestly.
His passion.
He's into it. He loves his team. I feel like a situation like that, and certainly it's different here, right? We're in St. Louis. We talk about the Cardinals. Randy, you got a Blues tattoo.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was going to blast him.
Yeah, what a homer. But, I should have just let you go. But I think
tattooed on your body.
Yeah, but it's not always visible. Hello. I think that it's kind of endearing, honestly, when you have somebody that you know that is truly passionate about something, whether it be a city, a region, a sport. I think that you like that. And I also think it brings context to his shows when he's doing them. He takes callers, and you'll have people that are you know, pro Knicks that love it, and they talk. And you have other people that troll him with the Knicks, and it adds for
good. Carmelo Anthony's still out there.
Yeah. It adds for good content, right? That was exactly the back and forth. I love that stuff.
I do, too. And we have Greg Amzinger on. Greg Amzinger makes no bones about the fact on MLB Network that he's a Cardinal fan. And when I see and hear somebody, and there are different jobs. Joe Buck can't do that. He can't express his allegiance in his job doing a game for one of the St. Louis teams. That's why he likes the Blues, because he doesn't broadcast their games. But if you're doing an opinion show, if your job is to voice an opinion, I want you to have opinions. And if that means having a favorite team, then so be it. That doesn't bother me at all. If Stephen A. Smith were a Yankees fan, and he might be a Yankees fan, and they're playing the Cardinals in the World Series and he wants the Yankees to win, I'm fine with that.
Oh, well, yeah, as long as he's not on the call for that game nationally.
When we embrace debate, we know what we're signing up for.
That's kind of part of it anyhow. A lot of times you listen to people for information, you listen for insight, you're looking for knowledge, but you're also looking for something that grabs you. So whether you're a Yankees fan in this scenario, and it's like, yeah, I'm with you, or you're a hater, you're like, oh, screw you, either way, you're listening. It's the old Howard Stern. It's like, oh, well, people that like you are listening for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What about the people that don't like me? They're listening for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good thing sometimes.
It's about the passion, I think, more than it. And it's about caring about something. I think people, when they're listening to you, if you're not doing the Joe Buck, Al Michaels national broadcast for different teams, multiple different teams, people want to hear that from you. They want you to feel, because they have their own passionate opinions. You're not listening to sports talk radio in a job we do, for example. You're not listening to this unless you have your own incredibly strong opinions about the team. You're probably not a passive sports fan. You probably care a lot. You probably do get mad about things, or you're extremely happy about stuff. Either way, you're going to have an extreme feeling one way or the other about your team, and you want the people you listen to have the same.
And I don't want, and I know a lot of people don't like Stephen A. Smith, I don't want a calm, measured Stephen A. Smith. I always want Stephen A. Smith to be outrageous, outlandish, passionate, yelling, screaming, because I know that's what he is. And if I get a calm, measured Stephen A. Smith, it's not nearly as entertaining.
Well, as long as somebody's not faking it, And sometimes you can tell the person who is getting fired up just for the sake of fired up.
Hot take, Tommy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that I think most people can see through those kinds of broadcasters. But as long as you're serious and you mean it, you know, I think that's the best thing in the world. I know a lot of people don't like Mad Dog, and I can totally understand why people don't like Chris Russo. But the dude is serious. Whatever he's telling you, whatever he's yelling about, he means it. And I think that in itself is kind of endearing.
Have you heard of Nazi Germany?
Yes.
Have you heard of the Pearl Harbor?
Like, that's why that is captivating. Because you know the guy is serious. Even if he's out of his mind, the guy is serious.
Yeah. Brad, you faced Russell Brandon the other day. What do you got for me there?
You got a short stop. Don't you talk about it for a little bit. he's all over it.
But on the other hand, you can listen to Francesa, right? And he's a completely different kind of guy. But he is like, I don't think he believes what he's saying most of the time. You know, he'll come out with, I've talked to a bunch of people who are telling me this is going to happen. And like, I don't know if I believe you. Right. I don't think you have those sources that you're talking about.
And he tries to tell you that he's not fans of teams when he is. I actually find this last few days with Stephen A., his Twitter video, and that's some of what we just heard, and the way he's reacted to this whole Knicks thing, I find it endearing.
I do, too. I love it.
Me, too. We just get a text in to the Hot Shots text line, 65780 from the 636, and says, if you guys compliment Skip Bayless, I'm out of here.
Okay, see, that's the guy I'm talking about.
That's Hot Take Tommy.
He's disingenuous. Yeah. He doesn't mean what he is saying.
He's condescending. He flip-flops quite a bit.
What was the video somebody put out like a year ago of him? It was from two different broadcasts, and he's arguing against himself. And I think it was about LeBron, maybe. And they would have him side by side on the screen, and then he says one thing, and then he completely contradicts it. That's the kind of stuff that people can't get behind, because you know he doesn't mean what he's talking about. He's just throwing it out there for the sake of throwing it
Well, he's throwing it out there to get a reaction.
Yeah.
He is trying to be a hot take guy.
That's a different kind of thing, which I'm not into it, you know, and I think most people are not.
Well, his zero ratings would seem to reflect that most people aren't.
Well, is that where they're at?
Randy, it's the fastest growing sports show in something.
If you add 10 viewers, then...
And you double it, you're up to 20. That's pretty
fast growing.
Rapid growth.
Oh, yeah, that's how stuff works. Fun with numbers.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, while we try to figure out what the Cardinals might do at the trade deadline, Greg Amsinger thinks this year's deadline will bring something new for a lot of teams. That's next on 101 ESPN. MLB Network's Greg Amsinger earlier today with us on 101 ESPN. This is obviously the first year that we have had one trade deadline coming up on the last day of this month. I will be interested to see if teams will make baseball trades. If somebody that has a wealth of pitching will trade to a team that has a wealth of hitting so that teams can fill needs with players that do have control. Usually at the trade deadline, it's trades that include players that are coming up on free agency. But as Greg said, so many players signed extensions after last season, before this season, there isn't going to be an awful lot of inventory out there for players that are going to be free agents after this season.
Yeah, it is weird. Wasn't the trade deadline kind of simple a few years back? Just like you're talking about. This is, all right, we're setting up baseball moves. I need this, you need that. And now there's a lot more that goes into different things. I just feel like with the team, the log jams that we have here currently and all the teams that believe that they're in it, I think it makes it way more difficult for teams to end up making moves, because it's hard to sell things to your fan base and say, all right, well, we're trying. And then they look, but you got rid of a couple of guys. But we're trying to do something. Those are tough sales.
As long as you don't even try to sell it that way to your fan base, I think you can get away with it. Because I know there are a number of teams, and we talked about the National League, for example, and everybody in the league, with the exception of the Marlins, is a single digit away from a wild card spot. The team that is the furthest out, aside from the Marlins, who are 11 and a half out, the Giants, who are 6.5 games back right now of a wild card, they can make the argument that they are still in striking distance of the playoffs. But most of these front offices, if they're being serious about where they are thinking, look, we're six games back, but realistically, come on, we're not going anywhere this year. We know we're not. There are too many teams to climb past. So in that regard, we are open for business. And I still believe there are, and maybe it's only the diehard fans. Maybe it's not the casual fan. But I think the diehard fan is open to the idea of their team selling for the sake of rebuilding, because they've seen what happens when you rebuild and what can happen. They've seen what the Astros have done, what the Cubs have done. They've seen what eventually happens or can happen if your team is a, you know, if your front office is a good steward of the rebuild. They've seen the results, and I think people are open to the possibility of their team doing that.
I think they are, because they're very short-sighted about it in looking specifically at Houston and the Cubs. But when you have eight teams rather than two that are tanking to try to get the top spot, it's much more difficult to succeed in that tanking realm. And then you take a closer look specifically at Houston, where the team they won with, they inherited Keuchel. Jeff Luhnow inherited Keuchel. He inherited Altuve. He inherited George Springer. Granted, he drafted Bregman and Correa.
Did well.
But he also drafted with top two picks. But he also wasted a couple of top picks in the draft.
Aiken, I think, was one of those.
Yeah,
right?
And Mark Appel.
Yeah.
So you have to be really sharp to make it work. And you have to have a really patient fan base. This is a Cardinal franchise that has never in their history finished in last place. Never, not once.
That's kind
so
of awesome.
So is their fan base going to accept finishing in last in the division?
Well, that's why I'm saying you have to trust your front office. And I'm not speaking just about the Cardinals here. I'm talking generally. People have to trust whoever's running the show to be able to steer you through a rebuild and get you to the other end. Because for the Houstons and the Chicagos, there are Pirates and there are Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay still operates, I think they operate with what they're given, with what their resources are. But if they were the kind of team that drafted as well as they did, and granted they got to draft
money
in the top 10, and then they had money and were capable of spending, the Pirates had money, but they didn't spend. They just had all the young core, and they didn't do anything to help the core. You have to trust your front office to do the other end of it. There are two parts. There's the teardown. There's the acquiring of young talent along with the teardown. And then there's spending when those guys are ready to play.
I do think that Randy's first point is the most salient one, is the fact that it's a lot harder to do with everybody else out there trying to do the same thing.
Now things are different.
Well, the Major League Baseball draft, and I'm sure all drafts are like this to a certain extent, but it's such a crapshoot because you're drafting guys that are oftentimes, you know, at minimum, you know, 2-3 years away from making it to the big leagues. And certainly some guys end up getting to the show a little bit quicker, but it takes a while. So you're doing a lot of projecting. You're doing a lot of hoping. And then you got to keep guys healthy. And for me, it's very difficult to be able to hit that many years in a row while still being able to time all of your other contracts correctly. And, you know, when does everybody get there? I don't believe a teardown is a good process overall. I don't think it's the best way to go. Certainly it worked for the Cubs, and it worked well for Houston. I don't think they can work for everybody.
And just to put some numbers to this, 30 teams in Major League Baseball, I think we can all agree that these seven, nearly a quarter of the teams, are tanking this year. Baltimore, Kansas City, Detroit, Toronto, Miami, Seattle, and the Giants. We all agree that those seven teams are, they're cashing it in. If they can sell, they're going to sell. So that's almost a quarter of baseball that's actually trying to lose this year so that they can get a high draft pick.
Is it more than, I don't know if it's more than other sports, though. I think we talk about baseball like it's the only sport where this happens, but I believe a lot of teams in a lot of different leagues try to do the same thing because they want the good draft picks.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Sometimes unintentionally. And if you have, like this year, the way they changed the NHL draft, tanking does you no good at all. And you look at the way the NBA draft works.
Knicks were sitting there ready.
Yeah, they
were.
Here
we go.
So a draft lottery doesn't help. And then with football, it's all about getting a quarterback. And it's really, with football, it's hard to tank because if you're a well-coached team, you can beat some teams that you aren't supposed to. And all of a sudden, you win one game and you go from the first pick in the draft to the fifth.
It's a totally different conversation than the one that we're having, but we've had this conversation before of kind of mixing up how you do the draft stuff. So, like, the lottery. I love the idea of the first one
first
out of
the
playoffs.
First team out gets the top pick.
I love it.
I do, too.
I know that down the stretch you're going to have more competition. You're going to have teams that are battling it out. And every single player that goes out on the field, every player is trying to win. So I'm not talking about players. Players don't try to tank. Players try to set themselves up. Even if you have a team that's way out of it, a player's trying to work for his next contract. So you're always going to have them doing it. But you do have front offices putting teams in positions where it's quite obvious they're not fielding their best team. Yeah. Well, if you change that, that would change a lot of things. I think it would help baseball as a whole. And I do believe
in its entirety.
Sorry, guys. And I also think that it would certainly help a team like the Cardinals that are always right there in the fray. And if they do miss out, they're like barely missing out, that would help out. Maybe I'm just trying to help the Cardinals here, but I like the idea.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and the only trade deadline, the 31st of July, and right now that is 4 weeks from today that the deadline will be happening. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. We're off. And Friday is the 5th of July. We're off. A lot of hockey on our station. We will air all four clinching games of the Stanley Cup playoffs for your St. Louis Blues here on your home of the St. Louis Blues, 101 ESPN. Tomorrow, Winnipeg, Dallas, San Jose, Boston, and then the parade. Same thing on Friday. But as we head down the end of our week, this stretch, we want your text for a game of Would You Rather. It's next. Hey, let's play a game of Would You Rather as we head down the stretch of this edition of the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Okay, guys, would you rather, if you're cooking a steak tomorrow for the 4th of July, have to cook your steak with a lighter, like a Bic lighter, mm-hmm. or a magnified glass and the sun?
I'm going with fire. Always fire.
I'm going to go with a magnifying glass. On the concrete, because it's going to be hot.
Should be hot.
And the lighter's going to run out.
And it's going to make your thumb really sore.
Probably. I'm going to come up with something, though. I'll get a nice char on it, though.
Yeah, with that, you could just use that lighter to light up your Royal Oak charcoal.
What I believe there's a cooking method called, well, it's the style of cooking, mm-hmm. like a searing. It's called the Pittsburgh, and it's just on each side, like a couple of seconds on each side, like that's it.
Oh, that's
it's bloody.
I've also heard that is black and blue.
Yep.
That's not for me. I have a buddy that eats his steak
disgusting.
Like that. I watch him cut into it, and the whole thing's moving.
Oh, yeah. I could do that with a sidewalk and a magnifying glass.
We like cereal around here.
Yep.
Would you rather pour milk into your cereal bag or pour cereal into the milk jug?
Milk into the cereal bag.
I agree. Yeah.
You can even use a spoon with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another vessel. It's going to be a little bit hard to maneuver because I would think you have to hold it from the bottom. And
yeah.
I don't know. But
just set it on the table.
Actually, I'm going to go the other way because
can
I've...
You drink it?
Well, yeah. And the problem with pouring it into the bag is you have to eat all of it, otherwise it's no good.
That doesn't sound like a problem.
Could you do a whole box of cereal in a sitting?
I could try. Sounds
imagine
delicious.
How mushy that's
well,
going to be.
You're also
going to
ruin your milk, too, so you're ruining something either way.
It'll be my cereal milk.
That's a good point also. Yep.
Would you rather randomly wake up one day and have no skin or no bones?
So a blob or a skeleton?
I think I'd rather go with no skin.
Yeah, if I'm going to survive either way, I'm going to go with no skin also. You still walk.
I think you can
move.
Do a skin transplant, too.
Your whole body?
Yeah, well.
Usually when they do it, they're grafting skin from other parts of your body because you don't have any.
From other people. But where are you going to get bones?
I don't know, but it's going to be painful without skin, and you're going to die pretty quickly.
I'm thinking this is just for a day, and you're going to live either way. You're either a blob or just a skeleton. How do you want to live the day?
Oh, I've been days where I've been a blob.
I'll just be the blob.
And then Randy made a lifestyle change.
Yeah, right.
I told to a group of friends, I told them about the two boxes of Krispy Kremes.
Uh-huh.
And they
box
were
and
like, no way. No way. Yeah, I said box and a half. He showed up to work with half the box. They were like, "There's no possible way he did it." And I went, "Yeah."
Do they not eat Krispy Kremes?
They're thin and airy,
very
light.
A couple of weeks, I'm going to ride in the Tour de Donut. I mean, they have big, delicious.
Do they give you the donuts?
32 mile bike ride.
Is it along the way?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you have three stops along the way, but I found out the key last year is you have to get, and they're big glazed donuts. You have to squish three or four together. And it counts as four if you squish four together and eat them that way.
And you get points for every donut, right?
5 minutes off your time for each donut that you eat.
So didn't you say like the people that are the winners end up having like a negative time?
Every
is that correct?
Year, yeah. It's pretty awesome. It's in Staunton, Illinois. You can Google.
That sounds really cool.
The Tour de Donut, yeah.
I should get a bike. I
and
be
your
a
stomach feels fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Because you're nothing not eating that much.
It's energy too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 32 miles. That's no biggie. It's a fun ride.
Would you rather greet people like dogs do by sniffing each other's butts or bond with people like monkeys do and pick fleas and bugs off them and eat it?
I'll eat the bugs.
I think I'm going to greet people like dogs do, but I am going to be very picky of who I want to greet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to do that, too. I'm going to do the dog thing also.
If I'm doing the butt thing, do I have to get all up in there? Or can
just go... And then walk away.
Dogs don't get all up in there.
Yeah.
Some do.
Depends.
But there are some greetings that are unavoidable. Like if you were, I don't know, applying for a new job, you can't not greet that person.
I'm going to know who my new boss might be
before I apply. You don't have to. You might apply for the job, but you don't have to take the job, and you don't have to engage that person completely.
Well, and your greeting could also be, like, not every greeting from a dog is the same. Like, there could be that one, the sniff-out greeting, but some greetings are just sheer aggressiveness, right?
Yeah, right. So or you could just lick their teeth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another one.
My the puppy is really, she enjoys licking Moose's teeth.
It's such an odd thing.
It is.
Can you imagine your new potential boss just licking his teeth?
And then
guy's like, "Something wrong with you. I like your style. You're hired."
Then Moose does monster teeth. I wonder if the boss would do like, rrr, rrr, rrr. You know,
like what's the matter with you?
So safety first with fireworks this weekend, everybody. Don't blow anything off. Mm. Would you rather lose a finger due to a firework accident or lose your hearing due to a firework
finger.
Accident?
Finger.
Yeah, I'm going to pick my pinky. I'll get past it.
Completely lose your hearing?
Yeah.
I'll lose a finger too.
Wouldn't this job be a tad difficult if you couldn't hear?
It would be.
A lot of things would be a lot more difficult than missing a pinky finger would be.
This job is difficult if you don't listen. So yeah, I would think if you can't hear at all, it'd be really more difficult.
That's also true.
What?
The Nathan's hot dog competition is tomorrow.
Yes.
Would you rather eat however many hot dogs Joey Chestnut eats.
So 70
not
something.
Not in that time, though. You have like one sitting to do it. Oh. Or get out of that, but you have to drink his water and whatever's left floating in it.
Oh, no. I'll eat the hot dogs. My God, that's
gross.
But
you have to sit there until you finish all those hot dogs. So it might take you Ralphing a couple of times.
Whatever.
No reversal of fortune. You have to start over.
Well, maybe there's new rules for you. Because there's no way you're going to be able to do 70 hot dogs without Ralphie.
I ain't drinking that water either.
I'm not either.
70 hot dogs in 7 hours? 10 hot dogs an hour for 7 hours?
There's no way. There's no way.
He does it in 10 minutes.
Yeah, but he's a superhuman freak.
I could do it.
I don't think so, Randy. I mean, maybe you could. I'd love to watch you do it.
I don't even want to drink the water the hot dog is boiled in. Let alone the water that he's drinking himself and
not.
Then the bits. Oh,
I'll take my chances on the.
No,
I'm going with the water.
Yeah,
I don't want to, but I'm going with the water.
I'm not
going to
do the water. I'm grossed out.
Oh, so nasty.
God, is it gross? The whole thing is disgusting. What are we? Are we airing it live on ESPN?
So no, we have hockey tomorrow.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, they're on ESPN TV, they'll air it live. But
what time is it? Is it an evening thing or daytime?
No, noon.
I never watch it.
Oh.
Never watch it.
I think it's 1 o'clock Eastern, noon.
Yeah, pass.
It's fantastic.
Oh,
it's the essence of sports.
Do you watch it and not get sick to your stomach?
Yeah.
I can't.
I love the introduction so
it's
much.
Disgusting. Oh. Yeah.
Would you rather have one large nosebleed every day or one permanent giant paper cut on your arm?
How giant could a paper cut be?
Sounds like that could get infected quite
easily. It's always bleeding, right?
And I feel like the pain of the paper cut is like the initial shock, right? Like, that's what kind of gets you.
Yeah.
Like, the first moment you feel it.
That one does hurt. Although, when you bump it again, like, that ends up hurting. I think I'm going to go with the one big nosebleed,
I think
though.
I agree with that, too. I just saw the lady that got the flesh-eating bacteria and died. I think she was in Florida.
Oh, that's a little scary.
She just, you know, she was living in Florida, living her best life, walking on the beach, fell in a little bit of a hole and cut her leg on something and then died.
Wow, sad.
You don't want that.
Yeah, I'll go with you guys. I'll go with the nosebleed, too.
Good
Thanks,
call.
Big Sis.
Thank you.
That's our producer, Brad Barnes. BT.
Mo, what are the chances all of our listeners have their digits when we come back Monday? Ooh, watch your fingers.
Ronge.
Enjoy your Independence Day, everyone.
Hey, this might be the last time that Scott Manziara ever runs the board for the Fastlane. Mike Ryder is out today. Scotty has been with us for about 3 years, and he is taking a new job in San Antonio next month. So he will be out of our building, and we've really appreciated, number one, his hard work, but number two, the fact that he's been such a great sport for us.
He's the best. Scotty, you're the man. Love Scotty.
Yeah, he's terrific. And don't forget, tomorrow we've got, and Friday, we've got, as your new home of the Blues, all four of the Blues clinchers from 7 a.m. until we get through the parade. For all of us, as our friend Ron Burgundy would say,